Imagine standing on the shoulders of titans of business, some of the world's most successful and influential individuals, and be able to listen in on their content-rich conversations. Well, now you can. Prepare yourself for the direct, honest, no BS, in your face, uncensored, unfiltered, uncomfortable truth on how you can change your life and your business. Now, get ready, because Dan, the man Locke, is in the house.
Are you investing your passion, money, and time in building a successful business? Do you realize that unless you trademark your brand, the risk of losing this valuable asset goes up significantly as your business becomes more successful? Would you like to know if your brand is trademarkable for free and with no strings attached? At searchmymark.com, you can fill out a form, and Trademark Factory Specialist will conduct a comprehensive trademark search and answer all your questions as they walk you through your trademark ability report over the phone. Trademark Factory is the only firm in the world where licensed lawyers and trademark agents will help you register your trademarks in Canada, United States, and European Union for a single, all-inclusive flat fee with a 100% money-back guarantee. Don't squander your brand. Order your free trademark search through searchmymark.com right now.
Well, hi, this is Eric Reynolds, and yes, I'm your co-host. And I'm here as always with Dan the Man Locke, the host of the Shoulders of Titans show. Welcome to the Shoulders of Titans, the world's number one business podcast for entrepreneurs and high achievers. And our special guest today is Mike Dillard, a successful entrepreneur and a mentor to hundreds of thousands of people. Mike is the creator of Self-Made Man, whose mission is to empower you to build a life of excellence in business, relationships, health, finance, and legacy. Today, Mike will talk about the secret to starting from zero and quickly making millions in saturated online markets. He shares the best strategies on building a relationship with your email list. He details how distributors and network marketing companies can use a little-known approach to make tens of thousands of dollars a month. He shares how to pick the best mastermind group based on your current net worth and the goals you want to reach. And lastly, he talks about the two things you must know prior to starting your internet business. Now, before Mike joins us, just a reminder that if you have any questions or require any assistance, you can reach Mike at www.selfmademan.com. Now, Mike Dillard is an entrepreneur in Austin, Texas. He built his first million-dollar business by the age of 27, teaching small business owners how to effectively market their products and services online using attraction marketing strategies. In 2010, he founded a financial education company in order to teach others how to achieve financial freedom through investment strategies commonly reserved for the wealthy. Combined, his businesses have produced more than $50 million in revenue without outside funding. In 2017, Mike developed the world's first fully automated hydroponic system for food production, Evergrow. His primary company today is Self-Made Man, which provides the knowledge and skills entrepreneurs need in order to achieve their goals in life and business. And now please welcome to the show, Dan Locke.
Welcome to another episode of Shoulders of Titans. This is Dan Locke, and today I am very, very excited. I have the privilege of introducing you to another successful entrepreneur, a father, an investor, a podcaster, author, and freedom fighter, a mentor to hundreds of thousands of people. His mission is to empower the people who want to change their lives, change the world with the knowledge and skills that they need to do so. Not only he's an entrepreneur, he's also a very good friend of mine. I'm very glad that we can reconnect through Shoulders of Titans. Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, glad to be here, Dan. It's a pleasure, brother.
Now, in case for our listeners who don't know, Mike and I, we actually met at a three-day event, a Robert Kiyosaki event at the time. Actually, at the time, I was just still building up my company, was actually becoming more successful. But at the time, Mike was already very successful. And I believe, Mike, at the time, you were just planning to launch the Elevation Group, which was one of the most successful launches online, like over $10 million in sales in 1 year. So we know where you are today, but Mike, maybe take us a little bit back and say where you were and how did you get into what you do?
Oh, gosh. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur probably by the time I was in high school waiting tables at the original Romano's Macaroni Grill in Burney, Texas. That was before it was bought by Brinker and turned into a chain. And I realized how much it sucks to have to wait tables you know, on the weekends, Friday and Saturday nights when your friends are out having fun. And the fact that somebody always had control over my schedule, along with the amount of money that I could make, just did not sit well with me at all. And that really is what planted the seed to become an entrepreneur. I can remember getting home from, you know, work at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, smelling like food, and would decompress. You know, this is in high school at the time, in my parents' living room watching TV, and what is on at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning? Infomercials. So, you know, Tony Robbins and Carlton Sheets and all of those guys would really fuel my fire to follow that path even more so. Mm. So that led to, that was in probably late 90s, early 2000. Led to an interest in the network marketing industry. That was really all that was available at the time. If you were, you know, a broke kid in their late teens, early 20s to start a business at a reasonable financial clip, if you will. So got involved in that industry. Took me about 5 or 6 years to figure it out before I really made any money. And then discovered Dan Kennedy and direct response marketing and really applied those skill sets, direct response to network marketing, for the first time. So instead of going about the industry as it traditionally would have been through...
Which is like talking, calling, driving family to friends, right? Driving
them friends
to meetings and all of that, right?
Yeah, friends and family, or holding home meetings or hotel events, which I didn't like any of that stuff. Mm. I learned how to really start generating leads online. Google AdWords had just come out at that point. Email autoresponders had just come out at that point, and I taught myself how to write sales copy and essentially wrote a long-form sales letter that sold the business and the products for me. So I would generate leads on AdWords, send them to this presentation, which would generate interest or not, and I would only talk to people who were essentially ready to sign up. Mm. So that changed everything for me.
Yeah, that was revolutionary. It's never been done before, right? It's such a new
concept. Not really. Yeah, not to that degree. Mm. And not online. There'd been some offline stuff previously in the past, but I think I kind of introduced that industry to the internet marketing world and married the two for the first time. And from then, you know, within 18 months, I went from waiting tables to making my first $1 million, you know, basically at that point.
At the time, you were about 27, right?
You know, I started that progression at probably at 25, learning that skill set. And then by 27, I'd hit my first mil.
And then is that also when you launched the Magnetic Sponsoring? That's your first kind of your book?
Yeah, so that started as a training manual that I wrote for my team. And it essentially taught attraction marketing and applied it to that world. So how to use direct response to essentially attract your prospects to you instead of chasing people down and cold calling them. And it went from a training manual into a book. That was, I guess, my first info product that I ever created and sold. And that just kind of took off.
Did you expect that you would sell that well?
I'd assume no. I think within 3 months, I was selling, you know, a physical copy of it that I'd get made at Kinko's for $3 a piece for $40 online on Google AdWords. And I was making $50,000-$60,000 a month just from the sale of that book.
Wow.
Within a few months. So at that point, it was like, okay, I figured out what I'm really good at here, which is direct response marketing and really taking complex things like a business opportunity and commuting them in a really simple format that a lot of people can grasp and understand. And, you know, kind of went from there, turned into a publishing company for 5 years under the brand Magnetic Sponsoring with multiple products and courses. The business did about $25 million in revenue. And then I moved on to Elevation after that.
Yeah, I'm curious because most people, and that's one thing I think I resonate with you, why I have so much respect for your work. As you know, a lot of people in the education space or the information publishing space, I think you notice the same thing. A lot of our friends, that's their identity. That's all they do. And they stay there for many, many years in spite of, you know, the changes within the industry, things are happening. But they're kind of stuck. That they do events, they always do events, right? They sell information, they always sell information. But you did something different there, where, because I think it's very difficult for anyone that's listening in and say, okay, you know what, I've got a business that's produced tens of millions of dollars, and to let that go and to transition into something else, I'm curious, what inspired you to do that, and what's your thinking process?
You know, after being in that industry for 6, 7, 8 years, I became the number one distributor in the primary business that I was building. I'd, you know, built a huge brand for myself through magnetic sponsoring, sold millions of dollars worth of ebooks. You know, after 5 or 6, 7 years of that, I didn't have anything else to contribute. I felt like I'd said everything I needed to say. When people would ask me questions, how do you build a business? I'd either be like, hey, go read the book, buy the product. You know, everything is there. And I'd done it all. So there were no additional challenges in that industry for me. And I just started to get bored. And you're never staying the same in business. You're either growing or you're fading. And I could see that that had, you know, started to happen to me in that regard. So I just lost my passion for the world, for that industry. Mm. And I was like, okay, what's my biggest problem now personally? And it was really money, figuring out what to do with the money that I had made, because, you know, here I was, a kid in his 20s making millions of dollars, and I was blowing it on houses and cars and trips and, you know, all kinds of fun, crazy stuff.
Yes.
And then I hit 30 and I was like, okay, you know, I'm officially an adult now and I haven't saved any of this money that I've made or invested any of it. I need to stop wasting this opportunity and grow up here and learn how to invest it. So all of my businesses have always been built around a personal problem that I've been inspired to solve for myself. And I figure if I have this problem, there's probably a large number of people who have it as well. And in the internet marketing world, the network marketing world, there's never an end of people or information who are willing to teach you how to make money. Mm. But there were very few people out there who were willing to teach you what to do with that money once you made it.
How to keep the money, how to make it multiply.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I wanted to figure that out. And that's when I had the idea for Elevation Group. I was reading about finance and investing every single day. That was my biggest personal passion, trying to kind of crack that code. Mm. But I was not the expert in that industry, so it was a very different approach. Excuse me, one sec. Excuse me. It was a very different approach to the business, because I'm no longer the guru. In fact, I'm the idiot. I'm the village idiot who doesn't know anything about money or investing, and I'm trying to figure this out. So how in the world do you start a business around that? Well, the logical conclusion was to essentially, you know, be like Oprah, be the host, right? Mm-hmm. Oprah's unbelievably successful, and all she does is sit and ask other people questions. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start a private monthly membership site, and the tagline is essentially learn how to invest like the rich. Mm. Because the way the rich invest and manage their money is completely different than how the average middle-class person would.
Correct.
And I was just going to do an interview format. So once a month, we'd find someone that I'm learning from or investing with. Maybe it's in, you know, multifamily real estate. Maybe it's in precious metals. Maybe it's in fine art. Maybe it's in oil and gas. Who knows? But we're going to interview that person on camera, and we're going to turn that into a monthly lesson. And I'm going to document everything that I'm doing with my money. So if I make an investment, I'm going to document that on the site. And for better or worse, we're going to learn from it. If I do well, great. If I bomb and lose my money, then that's an even more valuable lesson learned.
It's
right,
kind
for
of like
part.
Being your own. I love it, because the model is basically share your own journey, and you document your journey, and you kind of be the guinea pig for the audience, right?
I mean, I think when I had this idea, the first thing I did is I went and I bought and I studied every other major financial newsletter product out there. Yes. Stansberry, Agora, Motley Fool, like all of them.
Correct.
And what I realized is that all of these guys have been doing the same thing for 20, 30 years. They have a physical newsletter or it's email, but it's all text-based and it's all stock charts and stock picks. Mm. Really boring technical stuff that is for their primary target audience, which is usually people in their 50s and 60s. And I intentionally said, okay, I'm going to do the complete opposite of what they're doing in every possible way. So if they're putting everything in writing, I'm going to do everything on video. If they're using technical charts and technical analysis, I'm not going to use any charts or any analysis. I'm going to use layman's term and I'm going to speak how I normally speak. And so that was really the approach, from kind of a look, a feel, and a brand. And we instantly stuck out. you know, instantly overnight. And I think that was a huge part of the success was the authenticity, the vulnerability, the transparency, and the fact that in the sales webinar, the first thing I say is, I'm not a financial expert. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure this out. And if you want to follow along, then hey, you know, let's do this together, essentially. Mm-hmm. So we charge $97 a month or $597 a year. With the thought that if anybody applied to any one of these lessons over 12 months, especially through the resources in the Rolodex, they, you know, would be very, 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 very handsomely rewarded, you know, for that kind of a price point. And within the first 7 days, I just launched it to my list that I built in Magnetic. We did $3.2 million. We brought on 8,600 plus members in a week. And it just took on a life of its own from there.
And in the first year, I think the list grew to like almost like 400,000 people, if I'm correct. Almost $10 million in the first year, right?
We eventually had around 50,000 active members. You know, I think at around the 1 year mark when we had done about $10 million in revenue. Yeah. So,
but your
yeah.
list has grown significantly.
Right. Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah. So I'm curious because people sometimes look at hear these numbers. I want to dissect what is the secret sauce from the Magnetic sponsoring. Obviously, is what you teach in your program about building that list, and from there how you leverage to the next venture. What do you think that made that successful, and how could our listener as an entrepreneur apply those lessons in their business?
You know, first and foremost is taking a long-term approach to your personal brand and your reputation. The only reason Elevation Group was as successful as it was right off the bat was because I had built up trust and rapport and a list and a customer base, you know, for 5 years previously through Magnetic, right? Mm-hmm. And if I had done those people wrong or, you know, compromised myself in some way, then that wouldn't have happened. And so that's piece number one, is just treat your audience really, really well, be really cool to them, and never put money before, you know, your trust and your relationship with them.
Correct.
I don't promote anything unless I personally truly believe 100% of it and I'm a customer of it. You know, for example, I did one affiliate promotion this year. For the entire year, I've promoted one product that was not my own. Mm. And if I wanted, I could do it every single month.
Correct.
And I could just promote.
Correct.
And it might work a few months, but eventually I'm just going to, you know, people are going to feel like cattle, essentially, and that I'm just using them to make money. And that's just not going to work out in the long run.
Mm.
Now, with that being said, I did one single promotion. I sent four emails. It was for a cryptocurrency newsletter that I had been a customer of for about probably 9 months. I absolutely loved their research. It was the best that I'd found in that world. And I had no idea if my audience was into crypto or not. And I just said, hey, this is a really great publication. If you're into this space or if you're thinking about getting in it, you know, at least acquire some of this knowledge, which is produced by a very successful hedge fund manager. And, you know, consider reducing your stupid tax, if you will, when it comes to this new space.
Mm-hmm.
So four emails were sent, and I sold over $1.3 million of that publication at $2,000 a piece and made around $600,000 in commissions, which is 100% net profit, you know, with four emails. So that's only possible because I have a great relationship with my audience and I haven't been pushing stuff down their throat for the previous year.
Yes.
Right. So that's
and
one
I
of
think,
the other, the other big keys.
That's a very
sure.
big point, because sometimes people put money first or they just keep promoting all kinds of products versus, because I'm on your list as well. With Mike, it's always like your podcast self-made man, like it's value. Like I rarely see any promotions, right? Like rarely. It's always value. But even the content piece, even as little as like the podcast notification, those emails are very well written. The content, of course, the show is awesome. Like it's building that goodwill and trust. So when you do offer something, yeah, people might hear, oh yeah, you know, Mike is send out 4 emails, you make 600K. Yeah, it's not quite exactly like that. It's because of all the little steps, all the relationships building, like all these years, right?
That's cashing in, years of equity.
Yes. So it's not like 4 emails or easy money, 600K. It's not like that. And I love what you just said about it's something that you love, something you subscribe to, something you use. And it's more like, I'm sure, you don't even know. It's like, you know what? This is what I like. I benefit from this. It's very kind of chill, cool kind of approach. But, if you want to enjoy this, it is something that will help you. Check this out, right? It wasn't a super hard push or any promo or anything like that, right?
No, just being authentic. That's it. Yes. That's it at the end of the day. So
let's take a pause here for just a moment, and we'll be right back with Mike and Dan.
More of the Shoulders of Titans podcast with Dan Locke after this.
Can't get enough of Dan the Man Locke? Then check out his channel at danlocktv.com.
Are you investing your passion, money, and time in building a successful business? Do you realize that unless you trademark your brand, the risk of losing this valuable asset goes up significantly as your business becomes more successful? Would you like to know if your brand is trademarkable for free and with no strings attached? At searchmymark.com, you can fill out a form, and Trademark Factory Specialist will conduct a comprehensive trademark search and answer all your questions as they walk you through your trademark ability report over the phone. Trademark Factory is the only firm in the world where licensed lawyers and trademark agents will help you register your trademarks in Canada, United States, and European Union for a single, all-inclusive flat fee with a 100% money-back guarantee. Don't squander your brand. Order your free trademark search through searchmymark.com right now.
Hi, this is Dan Locke. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you're just spinning your wheels in your business? Maybe you feel like you're doing everything right. At least you think you are. But those big paydays just keep eluding you. Or maybe you've hit a plateau in your growth and you get stuck in your business building efforts. Or maybe you are already experiencing incremental success, but with that a great deal of frustration because you aren't sure how to move to the next stage. Well, you're not alone. I felt frustrated and like a failure or even a fake at one point or another in my business career. I've been there and done that. And maybe I could help you. I frequently get asked to be a strategic consultant to companies. My private clients pay me up to $100,000 a year to work with me. And I understand that my high-priced fee structure has never been designed to be a cost-effective way for you to have access to my advice, knowledge, or experience until now. About a year ago, I started experimenting with consulting with entrepreneurs through a platform called Clarity. For approximately 15 minutes to 30 minutes each time, in a very concentrated, no-nonsense, laser beam-focused consultation designed to produce a meaningful breakthrough in the shortest, compressed, accelerated timeline possible. Now, at first, I didn't think it would work, but the results have been amazing. I mean, entrepreneurs, they love it. I love it. I get asked brilliant questions. I ask probing questions. It's just a wonderful experience and interaction. Now, so if this sounds like something that will benefit you greatly and is something that you want, you can go to www.givedanacall.com, and that is givedanacall.com. Just givedanacall.com and book a call today. And you see all the rave reviews on the page. And when you book a call today with me, I'm confident that I can make a positive and profoundly profitable impact. Hopefully not just on your business, but on you as well. Again, you can book a time with me at givedanacall.com. I look forward to connecting with you in person.
Let's continue our conversation here with Mike and Dan.
Talk to us about the Elevation Group. So you launched that, it became very, very successful. And then after that, then what happened?
At which point, after Elevation Group?
Yeah, after Elevation Group, yes.
So after Elevation Group, we, you know, had a rough spell where one of the people we ended up promoting ended up being a con artist. Mm. And that threw a huge wrench into that business in a very unexpected way.
Yes.
That consumed about 2 or 3 years of my life. So by the time that was all done and those guys went to jail, I was ready to move on to something else. Just for, you know, from stress and emotional baggage and all of that stuff that surrounded that. So I essentially gave my half of the business to my partner at the time, Robert, and he, you know, continued on with it for about a year before he sold the company. But I was ready, you know, once again for another challenge. At this point, between Magnetic and Elevation, I'd been in the information publishing space, if you will, for 10 years.
Yes.
I'd made over $50 million in gross revenue.
Yes.
And I was kind of tired of it. I was tired of being the guy, because it's a great business to be in, especially if you build it around something you're passionate about. But it's a treadmill you can't get off of.
Yes.
You can't sell the business, you know.
Because you're the guru, right?
What's that?
Because you're the guru, you're the expert. People want to buy you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I can give it to my business partner, Robert, and you know, he ended up selling it, but he for pennies on the dollar, essentially, you know. So Tony Robbins can never sell his company.
yes.
You know, I can't sell
my company. Without Tony, there will be no Unleash the Power Within, right?
Yeah, you're right. People think you're in the publishing business, but you're not. You're in the leadership business.
Correct.
And you just can't sell a company like that. So, you know, once again, it's a treadmill that you cannot get off of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of tired of it. I wanted to do something different.
Mm.
So I was inspired by Peter Diamandis's, you know, work and around, you know, all of the exponential technologies that have started to come online over the last 10, 12 years, the decentralization of so many different industries. And I live right across from the corporate headquarters of Whole Foods here in Austin. So every single day I'm at Whole Foods walking through the produce section buying groceries. And I thought it was absolutely horrific that you essentially have to be wealthy in America in order to eat food that is not covered in poison.
Correct.
And I just think that's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Mm.
So for me, I saw kind of a convergence of technologies and timing coming into play in the agricultural industry, where the technology's essentially coming online to allow the automation of farming, specifically through a hydroponic format. And obviously people are into health and fitness more than ever. They're into detoxing more than ever. They want to buy clean organic food, but it's just expensive. So how can we decentralize the ag industry was the question that I started to ask myself. And how do you reduce food costs by 80-90%? Well, the only way to do that is to essentially decentralize it, like Airbnb did for the hotel industry, Uber did for the taxi industry, 99 Designs did for, you know, design work, or Odesk did for outsourcing tech work, right? You get rid of all of the intermediate infrastructure. So if you want to reduce food costs by 80-90%, it's real easy. You get rid of the farm, you get rid of the tractors, you get rid of the farmers, you get rid of the 18-wheelers, you get rid of the processing plants, you get rid of the grocery stores. So how do you do that? Well, at the end of the day, it was like, okay, we have to start and end the entire grow process in somebody's home. And if we can decentralize it and put 3 square feet of organic farm in everybody's house, we don't need these fields and, you know, pond fields of farmland that are being polluted on a daily basis. So I had no idea how to grow plants. I've never had a garden. I didn't know anything about hydroponics. I didn't know anything about building a technology platform. So I literally started this journey by buying 5 books on hydroponics off of Amazon and by going to Odesk. And I had kind of a vision in my head for what I thought the product could look like. And I picked up a picture of a nice kitchen off of like iStock photo or whatever. And I went to hire a designer on Odesk and I said, hey, put this Voss water bottle here in this kitchen setting, take off the logo and fill the middle with plants and put this little logo on it. And that gave me essentially a visual aid to then go jump onto Google. And I started doing Google searches for industrial design companies. I never talked to an industrial design company, didn't know what to ask or who to ask for. I just started cold calling them and I said, hey, I've got this idea. Can I email it to, one of your account reps and go from there? And so that real little aid gave me a foot in the door in a lot of these companies who thought it was a really great idea. And I eventually hired a company out of Silicon Valley, one of the top three industrial design firms in the country. Done a lot of really cool high-tech products. And for me, I wanted to build something that looked like a modern piece of art. If Apple was going to design an automated farm for your living room or your kitchen, what would it look like? And this company specialized in creating tech products, with that kind of look and feel. So that started that 2 to 3 year long process. We were all figuring this out as we went. I was literally just sketching things in a notebook, drawing ideas, trying to figure out, how can you create a unit that can grow enough food to feed, meet all of your produce needs or greens needs on a monthly basis for, at least two people? And how do you design a system that can have that kind of growth volume and plant volume within a given footprint or space or size constraint, if you will, based on the fact that it has to fit through a standard size door frame? Mm-hmm. And that was our primary size constraint. No matter where this thing goes, it has to fit through the smallest standard size door frame there is, or someone is not going to be able to get it in their house, and that's correct. Just going to be a disaster. So that gave us our basic size constraint, and then we just played with all kinds of geometry and angles based on the amount of space we would need for the plants, the amount of space we would need for lighting, the angles on the lighting, and all of that crazy stuff. And eventually just, over the course of a year and a half, put together a working prototype, which I still have a few feet away from me here in my living room. And that was an interesting process. I like to tell people that you're going to pay your stupid tax one way or another when you get into anything new. And option A is you're either going to pay for your stupid tax in the form of education. You're going to pay money for courses, for consulting, for help and expertise, or you're going to pay it in the form of mistakes because you didn't go get those things.
Correct.
For me, we had a great design team, but no one on their team had ever worked with hydroponics or growing plants either. So we were missing one key skill set, which was, the actual horticulture side, or if you will, agricultural side, if you will. Mm. And that was a huge mistake because we had to go back and redesign things and shift things. And at the end of the day, I ended up putting in at least $1 million personally to get that prototype made. And then about 2 years in, I got to a point where I was like, this is exhausting, because to make $1 million in cash, if you've got a profitable business, let's say that's 20 to 30% profitable, which is very, very, very high profit margin for the average business that you'll typically only find in internet info publishing, you're still looking to get $1 million in cash flow. You're looking at a business that has grossed 4 to 5, in sales to end up with $1 million in profit that you can then go put into another project, right? Yeah. So that's a lot of money. And I was like, okay, guys, this has been a year and a half, 2 years. I'm $1 million into this. How much more is this going to take to get to production ready? We've got to go through tooling, which I didn't know about when I first started this thing. We've got to go through safety testing. We've got to design the boxes. We've got to build the website, the shopping cart, the customer service team. And at this point, I still don't have a single employee. I just have the design firm that I've outsourced this to. And they came back to me and they're like, well, probably we've got another $2.5 million. I was like, shit.
that's we don't know. It's just rough figures, right?
Yeah, exactly. When I first started this, I thought, I was looking at the estimate, it was like 500 grand, right? And I'm, now I'm looking at 3.5 mil at best estimate with a mil already in.
Yes.
And that left me with really one option, which was to go raise money. And did I want to do that? I don't know, not really. But at the same time, a primary competitor in the space, who they're called Click and Grow, had been around 7 years, but they only had a little countertop system that grew 3 plants. Yeah. It grew, your basil and mint. And it's like, that's cool, but that doesn't solve the problem. It's not putting food on people's plates at a reduced cost at scale. Mm. Well, they were, backed by Y Combinator, 7 years old. They had a staff of 20 people. And what I didn't know is that they'd been working on for the last 2 years on much bigger systems. So right around that time when I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with Evergrow, which is the name of the product, these guys come out with three new products in a span of 3 months, a system that grows 9 plants, 35 plants, and 51 plants. And frankly, they have a better business model. They sell little seed cups like Keurig coffee cups, which is great from a renewable revenue standpoint. But they didn't need to have all of the sensors and tech that we put in our system because of that either. So their 35-plant system compared to my 36-plant system would retail for $1,000 and mine would have to retail for $3,000. So here now I've got this competitor who's got $20, $30 million in funding and a team and a 7-year head start has now instantly come out with
a competitive price product.
A much more competitive price product. Mm-hmm. It didn't look as good as Evergrow, but they beat us in every other category. So now I'm like, well, I can't go raise money in good faith from people I care about, knowing that we're going to be second best in the market at this point. So I'm like, what do I do? So I end up calling the founder of Click and Grow, having a few conversations with him. And I end up investing, six figures into them during one of their bridge rounds that they were raising. And so at that point, I pulled the plug on Evergrow, wrote off my $1 million loss, invested in Click and Grow. And my hope and expectation is in 5 to 7 years when they have an exit, I'll, make my $1 million back. So it was a very, very, very interesting project, one I'm super proud of because we actually did it. I literally am very proud of the fact that I went in with this massive game-changing idea in an industry that I'd never been a part of and literally from the ground up took it from an idea to a living, working, device that's in my house right now. So in that aspect, it was really cool. At the same time, I'd love to have my $1 million back, but
you'll get it back when they.
Yeah, it's something I had to do because I would have spent the rest of my life wondering and regretting if I had not, right?
Yes.
So that I pulled the plug, I think, on that about 9 months ago. You can go to evergrow.com and I put up a whole video on kind of the entire story. You can see the system and kind of a retake of what I just mentioned. But I think it's a good lesson learned for entrepreneurs who are afraid of failing or, whatever it may be. For me, instead of putting up a victory, for sale video for the system, I'm putting up a, hey, I struck out kind of a deal. But if you look at the comments below it, you'll find that all it did was increase the emotional equity that I have with my audience because they, I'm taking them through my journey for better or worse, being transparent and authentic with them. And they're just unbelievably grateful that I'm willing to do that. And it just builds an even stronger bond, right?
Correct.
So there's a lot of positive and upside that you can take advantage of if you're willing to just be authentic.
I'm curious about your perspective, and here's what I've learned. I think maybe you think alike, you agree with this as well, because from the information publishing business, what I've learned is it's a great cash business because the margin is good and you can make a lot of money with relatively very little cost. And you can scale that pretty quickly. I'm fortunate that once I made the money that and we share the story, I went through the same thing, the car, the house, and all that stuff, right? You blew the money. Okay, now I got to save. It's one thing to make it, it's a whole other thing to keep it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And then good that I took some of the profit and put into other, lack of a better word, real businesses. It's nothing to do with me. It's jewelry, it's real estate. It's those more tangible assets, right? And I'm fortunate enough to do that. And I figure that for me, the both world, that I know the information side, the personal branding side, that's good. It's almost, I look at that, not a business, I look at that as a skill. We can speak, we could sell, that's a skill that we have. It brings an income, but we need to convert that into tangible assets of building net worth. Like, what's your take on that? And then I also want to have you talk a little bit about Tiger 21 as well.
Yeah, well, the ability to make money on demand is a skill set. And it's a skill set that's a blessing and a curse. Mm. It's a blessing in the fact that you can do that. Mm. But in my experience, it's been a curse because you don't necessarily have the same amount of respect for money that you would otherwise. Mm. Because, you know, I'll put 500 grand into this, or I'll go buy that or whatever it may be, because I know if I need money, I can just go make more. Yeah. And that'll work for a little while. But, you know, as you start to get older, it gets tiring to have to do that, or to put yourself in positions where, you know, you weren't as responsible with your money as you should have been, or conservative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so for me, that's a lesson I've had to learn as I've gotten older, which is the fact that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep. So, yeah, for those of you who are just getting started, you know, maybe you're making your first $1 million this year. All I can suggest is to put a plan in place, a financial plan in place for your life when it comes to saving, you know, investing, spending, and you know, a charitable giving side to it. And if all you'll do is put a plan in place, you'll succeed. If you follow the plan, you will absolutely succeed. If you don't put a plan in place, you'll spend the money. And that'll lead to a less desirable result. So yeah, that's the biggie.
Yeah, and I think sometimes entrepreneurs that we think, although like you might have that phenomenal year, that product or that tipping point where, okay, this is awesome. And sometimes entrepreneurs, this is what I've learned. I thought before, it's all because of me, that my ability and my skill and my vision and my team, that I'm able to pull this off. As I get older, I kind of the whole factor of it, I'm like, yeah, you know what? That maybe is like 20%. A lot of that is timing. A lot of that it's marketplace. A lot of that it's not just because of my skill and ability. Luck is a factor, right? And that we don't always have those wins, and you know, there's ups and downs, and that's one thing that why I have so much respect. You mean you share your the good and bad, the ugly side of business. It's not always we all win all the time. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Right. And what about your involvement with Tiger 21? In case, like, for listeners who don't know what Tiger 21 is, maybe give them like a 1 minute overview, and why is it such a powerful social networking group?
Yeah, so Tiger 21 is a, like you said, kind of a social group for, or mastermind group for essentially high net worth individuals who are trying to figure out, they've basically had their exit, they've made their money, and they're trying to figure out how to invest it wisely and what to do with it from a legacy perspective, whether it's family planning, asset protection, philanthropy, whatever it may be. And so Robert and I were the founding members of the Austin chapter 3 years ago. And the Austin chapter is a little bit different. In most Tiger 21 groups, you're going to find the average age of the members is in their 50s or 60s. Mm. In Austin, you know, the average age of our members is, you know, 40s, 50s. Mm. It's definitely on the younger side. All of us are still active building businesses. We're all founders. And we're in our kind of our prime revenue generating years. But at the end of the day, the value that I get out of it is deal flow. So from an investment perspective, we get pitched every single monthly meeting by at least one or two you know, businesses that have been vetted by Tiger. Mm. And it could be in all kinds of industries, real estate, oil and gas, tech, pharmaceutical, who knows, all kinds of stuff. But just being you know, sitting through dozens of those pitches, I've learned a ton. But being the youngest member in our chapter and the least successful by a long way, the biggest value I get out of it personally is that I'm surrounded by individuals who are more successful than me. Mm. And that's a really rare opportunity. You know, if I'm in my circle, I'm usually one of the most successful people. Mm. And there's just not a lot of value in that. Mm. It might feel good, but you're not going to grow from it or learn anything from that. So for me, I like being the dumbest guy in the room for once. But that's what Tiger's about. Yeah,
that's awesome. And just to give our listener, like, what's the criteria to be a member? Because I know that I think Tiger at this point, like, maybe around 500 members who they manage over, I think, 50 billion in personal assets, something like that.
Yeah, it's one of the most concentrated groups wealth wise in the world, which is pretty cool.
The minimum, very private, right?
What's that?
Very private.
Yeah. So the minimum criteria to be considered for membership is at least 10 million in net worth. And other than that, you know, basically you would go potentially get a chance to sit in at one of the local, you know, your local chapter essentially's meetings, and you're going to be vetted by the group, and they're either going to say, yeah, we like John, or no, we don't. Just from a personality fit perspective, right? The group gets really, really close because you find out everything about everybody's stuff. You go through one member's financials, where everybody gets a binder of your everything about your financials on a monthly basis.
Oh, wow.
Well, you do that once a year as an individual, but you're doing that if there's 12 members in that group. Mm-hmm. Every single month, you're doing essentially what's called the portfolio defense. Mm-hmm. And that gives everybody else in the group the chance to say, hey, look, you're at risk here. There's an opportunity for you here. And just get kind of a group mind think, if you will, around somebody's life. And so things get really personal, and you have to fit in to your group because you become really, really close.
And it sounds to me it's like a very high, super high level mastermind group. Not just you get ideas, but like you said, look at a portfolio, look at financial. That gets very personal, right?
No, you get very close to the guys. You talk about problems people are having, you know, in their marriage or their family, or, you know, things like that. And you start taking trips together, and it becomes a really cool group.
And the membership fee is how much?
I believe it's $30,000 or $35,000 a year. At least it was when I joined. And if that's, you know, if that's on the high end, then it's not something you should be considering. If you're an entrepreneur and you're in the building phase right now, you are much better served if you join EO.
Oh, yes.
Than Tiger. Tiger really is, you're going to get the most value from Tiger if you've had an exit, you've sold your business, or you've got, you know, again, at least 10 million bucks laying around that you're looking to protect or to invest, you know, or to diversify, whatever it may be. And then you'll get a lot of value from it. If not, EO is a better choice.
Yeah. And then also, I think they talk about the age group. What about businesses in terms of Tiger 21? Are they mostly in, like, financial or all kinds of
businesses? Everything. And I think a lot of it depends on the location, right? I think the New York group is, you're going to find a lot of guys in the financial sector. Here in Austin, it's very diverse. You know, we've got people from almost every industry, so.
Now, also now, like, we have a pretty good picture, like, of your career. I'm curious if you could, that's a question I ask my guests, right? If you could travel back, just imagine, like, time travel back to one of your early startup days and just have a 10-minute conversation with your former self to communicate any lessons you've acquired with the intention of saving yourself mistakes, headaches, what would you tell yourself?
You know, I would have pursued building businesses that had an exit opportunity first. If I could go back, I would have focused on that again, because if you're going to spend 5, 6, 7 years of your life building something, it's really nice if you're building an asset that can essentially be sold, and you know, you could retire off of that if you wanted to. So the companies that I built previously haven't had that opportunity, which I think was something I would change if I could go back and do that again. And then have a plan when it comes to your finances. What are you going to do with the money, you know, once you start to make it? Because without that plan, it's just you're going to find ways to get rid of it very quickly. So those would be the two biggies for me, for sure.
And Mike, so you're still active in the whole internet marketing space. I know you do a little bit of the coaching, a little bit of mentoring through your Mike Dillon Mentoring. I don't know if you're still active in that. Like, it's for someone who, like, want to learn from you, obviously they can go to your podcast, but what are some of the other ways that they could do that?
So MikeDillard.com is kind of where I've got everything. You know, Evergrow's on there, Self-Made Man is on there, but You know, we've been working behind the scenes for about a year now on turning Self-Made Man. After Evergrow, Self-Made Man became my primary project. And again, how can I turn Self-Made Man into a business that I can sell it at some point in the future is the goal for me. So for about a year now, we've been working behind the scenes on turning it into that, building the tech infrastructure to allow that to become essentially its own brand that I'm not really a part of. I'll host the podcast, but that'll essentially be it. And so we'll be launching that here in February.
Oh, nice.
So I can't go into too much detail because I haven't told anyone anything about it yet, but
you listener, you're the first to hear about it, a little glimpse.
Yeah, we're getting close, but the whole goal is to essentially build a big platform that serves entrepreneurs and that really becomes a competitor to entrepreneur.com, you know, or any of those other success.com kind of publications. So yeah, so that's just a couple of weeks away. We're working on that every single day and have been for the past year and looking forward to giving birth.
Mike, I don't know if you realize this, but it feels to me, now there's a term called disruptor, right? It feels to me that every industry you get into, the home business industry, right, the investment world, that's kind of what you do. You see, right, a certain way of things being done, you're like, yeah, you know what, I think I can change that up.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't interest me to copy what other people are doing constantly, right? You know, that works really well for the information publishing space because it's such a very simple business. You don't necessarily want to do anything disruptive, if you will. But the money that has, you know, those businesses have brought in have really allowed me to take some much bigger chances to do something that I think is much more unique and has an opportunity to disrupt things. It's nice when you can build something that makes an impact and that raises the bar versus everything else that's out there. So
That makes a lot. Mike, thank you so much for inspiring us today with your story and, you know, all the battlefield lessons you've learned, sharing your thoughts and ideas. I mean, we love you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Dan, happy to support you guys. Thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for having me on. It's good to hear from you again.
Now, I can see we are out of time. Now, just as a reminder that if there's anything that Mike mentioned today that you missed, that we do take all the notes for you, and you'll find them for this episode at shouldersoftitans.com. Now, while you're there, we also invite you to subscribe to the Shoulders of Titans podcast to be alerted to weekly episodes at shouldersoftitans.com/subscribe. Now, can you think of someone who would benefit from what we've covered here today? They'll thank you for forwarding this episode on to them. And if you haven't done so already, please leave us a review in iTunes. It helps us to let other people discover the show and helps to get better seen in iTunes. You can do so at shouldersoftitans.com/iTunes.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Shoulders of Titans show with Dan, the Man Lock. Be sure to check out shouldersoftitans.com to access other episodes, knowing that just one good idea, an offhand remark, a quip, a story of seemingly unrelated success could be worth millions if applied. Visit shouldersoftitans.com to subscribe, and when you do, you'll receive a free gift from Dan. That's www.shouldersoftitans.com.